Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and have the report out of closed session, please.
Yes, the board.
Pardon me, we'll have roll call again for.
You want a roll call?
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Here.
Director Tornatsky.
Here.
Director Wright.
Here.
Vice President Storm.
Here.
President Oleska.
Here. So with that, then, we'll go ahead and get the report out of closed session.
Yes, the board did go in a closed session at approximately 6 p.m. tonight regarding to three separate categories of under the government code. First, under government code section 54956.9, exposure to litigation or anticipated litigation, the board heard a report from legal counsel regarding two separate matters, gave direction, but took no reportable action. Second, they went into closed session pursuant to government code section 54957. That's a public employee appointment, district interim general manager, and they took no reportable action out of closed session, but I believe that you'll be hearing something about that shortly. And finally, the board went into closed session pursuant to government code section 54956.8 regarding conference with real property negotiator. Likewise, they took no reportable action, but I think you'll be hearing something about that at this meeting. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. With that, then, we'll go into public comment for items not on the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Keith Weimer. I'm a member of the Sustainability Group, chair of the Water Committee of the local chapter of the Sierra Club. I just want to express my continued concern about Mr. Seitz's comments last meeting when he basically said that the Sierra Club and the Sustainability Group should not recommend improvements in the basin plan until it has a chance to fail in a year or two. What is the board's position? Does your board agree that the Sierra Club, Sustainability Group, and apparently the public should not recommend improvements for a year or two? If so, how does this square with your assurances over the past year that the basin plan is a living document and input during the first 6 months is critical? How does it square with the First Amendment? On a different note, I wanted to congratulate the people of Los Osos for cutting water use in half in 10 years. I understand that water use in the purveyor service areas has dropped from 2,000 acre feet in 2006 to about 1,000 acre feet in 2016. This is an amazing achievement that testifies to the community's commitment to saving the basin. I do want to point out again that water use is likely to go up when homeowners hook up to the sewer and restore their yards. A lot of people have let their yards go. If the drought restrictions are lifted, that will also cause water use to go up, unless there is a strong conservation program in place, especially an outdoor program. The basin plan does not have a strong program, especially an outdoor program. At the last Basin Management Committee, a few of us asked you, Director Ohiski, and other committee members to support using the Los Osos Wastewater Project conservation grant money, $2.4 million remains, for a strong comprehensive program. Part of the money could be used to help people repurpose septic systems to rainwater cistern, install gray water systems, or restore yards with low water use landscaping to help homeowners keep water use low and even cut more water use. Will this board support use of that Prop 84 grant for a state-of-the-art program? The Basin Management Committee approved $12,000 for a consultant to help write grants. We already have a conservation grant. Let's use it. Finally, I want to point out that the flyer handed out at the lateral connection meeting last Saturday appears to overestimate the cost of converting tanks to simple catchment systems. The estimates I've gotten so far indicate the cost will be about the same as filling the tank with dirt, about half of what is estimated in this pamphlet here. Will you make sure that accurate information gets out about this inexpensive repurposing program that will help save the basin? Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I'm sure we'll hear a little bit about this in the utility report, but I wanted to raise some issues right now, and it has to do with the hexavalent chromium 6 that was found in our Third Street well. I understand it was found in probably all the wells that are in the municipal supply, Golden State included. Certainly, I have concerns. I went back to the 2006 characterization study that our district spent quite a lot of money on and looked for that contaminant in that study. And I found very, very tiny amounts, trace amounts, in just two wells at that time. What we're finding now, and I obviously haven't seen all the data, but it is prevalent in the other wells. Turning off the Third Street well, my concern there is that you are relying on the other wells and pumping harder and perhaps inducing seawater intrusion. The hexavalent chromium 6 is treatable. We need to know how much that costs. We need to find the source. How much does that cost? And again, we know even seawater intrusion comes at a cost. And I'm very concerned, I'm worried, in fact, for this district with regard to our finances. We have had a dismal financial picture for quite some time. We haven't had accurate reports, and I don't think you know where you are. And we'll talk more about money a little later on tonight, but I think this public health risk elevates the importance of your money situation because you need to address these contaminants and how we manage the water and the water district. Thank you.
Any other? Yes, Lynette.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. Two things. I have a flyer that I put at the back of the room about the Sahara mustard that is invading our town. It is in the Elfin Forest. It is in Sweet Springs. And it's all over people's yards and along the roadways. And it's a much worse thing than veldt grass in that it overtakes native plants. And if you see it anywhere, please pull it up. It's really a terrible thing that's going to happen if we don't stop it. The other thing is, could you please ask whoever runs this place to put some lights on in the parking lot at night? I'm afraid somebody is going to trip and sue this place, or, you know, worse yet, they'll hurt themselves. So if somebody could look into that. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Seeing no other speakers, we'll go ahead and close public comment for items not on the agenda. With that, we'll go to administrative and committee reports. Fire department report. I know when I was coming to the meeting, they were out on a emergency run, so that may be where he is. So we can, if he comes in, we'll have him do it if he gets here. But with that, then we'll go utility department report.
Okay. Good evening, board. I'm Margaret Faulkner, here to report on the operations of the utilities department for the month of December, 2015. Yes, as you are aware, the Third Street well exceeded the maximum contaminant level of 10 micrograms per liter, for chromium 6. Hexavalent chromium is also another term for the same. It was shut off, and the district mailed a notice to all the customers of record in our water system, and a copy is enclosed in the packet. We also posted the notice on our website and a link to the state's regulations page for this constituent. I received many calls and emails, and thank you for everyone's concern. I also wanted to make sure the important message that gets out here is that the district continues to provide safe drinking water to its customers. There are treatment processes, as Julie was asking about. The state regulates us, so we have to go to their engineer and get the approval for some plan if we choose to do that. So we are, I do hope that everyone understands that this is a major concern, and we stopped it. We shut it off, and that's the only mitigation we have at this time. Also, I want to start talking about the water production in December. There was approximately 10.9 million gallons. That equates to about 351,300 gallons. So that was down by about 15% compared to the previous year. 43% of our service area was billed for 8.8 million gallons of consumption, and that was for the period of November 2015 through January 11, 2016. And that generated $108,532 in revenue. So this is a decrease in consumption by approximately 10%, but it's an increase in revenue by approximately 9% when compared to the previous years. There are attached maps and graphs for more information on these subjects. And also, the 16th Street tank repair, I wanted to make sure that first, thank you to all of the neighbors that live right in that area. We really appreciate your patience and tolerance, and it's substantially complete. Drainage, as you can see, for the entire 2015 calendar year, down at our water yard, they recorded just 7.79 inches of rain, which was down from 2014, but it almost doubled the 2013, which was our driest year. So this concludes my report for the evening. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions?
Yes, I have a couple. One, back to what Ms. Tacker said, do we have evidence of other wells being contaminated? How about Golden State's? I thought they put out a big press release saying no.
I can't speak to Golden State's. What we do is, this is a brand new regulation that came out in 2014. So all wells were tested for chromium, and this used to be regulated under total chromium, which did the total, you know, chromium 3 and chromium 6. And back then, the maximum contaminant level was 50 micrograms per liter. Every single well has some chromium in it, yes. But there's a range that starts from 1 microgram per liter up to the 11, which was the Third Street well. So it's somewhere in there.
Okay, so there's some naturally occurring. Where do we go in the future here? I mean, do we keep retesting this well, hoping we're looking for sources? I guess I want to know what we're doing with this well in particular.
Well, that's a good question. You know, do you want to spend the money on looking for the sources? I haven't lived here that long. Nick Wilson wrote a really nice report about what happened. There used to be chromium mines in the area back in 41, I believe he said, off Highway 41, and back before World War II. So I believe it's naturally occurring, but I'm not an expert. There is a way to treat it, but that well is right on the bay. I don't know if it would be a kind of a reverse osmosis type of deal like we have over at South Bay for the nitrate. I can't see us putting a huge tank like that right there at Third Street. Oh, so yeah, it would have to be something smaller. And right. And that's, you know, Rob Miller will, I'm sure, because I received a lot of emails from people who, you know, vendors that were interested too. So I sent them on to Rob so he can look at them.
Okay, so we're still sifting through all that.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple other little things that I've noticed, and this is probably just maybe a matter of the fact that the Palisades well was offline and then back online, and but it seems like I'm talking about the top of page 2 of your report where you talk about production versus runtime, and there's a direct correlation between 14 and 15 for just about every well. Between the two, you know, less runtime is less production, except for Palisades. And there, more runtime in 2015 was about a tenth as much production. Is that because it was running without producing while we were just testing, getting it back online, having it run again? I mean, because we went from 35 hours of runtime December of 2014, it's over twice that in 15, and yet production was about a tenth as much.
Yeah, I believe that that well only ran for 82 hours.
Right, it's not
the
much.
Whole month.
It wasn't being used much.
Yeah.
Okay, so we still don't have a good clean bill of health on that well. Is it fully back in service?
Well, the wells work, the way the crew works the distribution system is, you know, based on tank level.
Right.
And so that well, I know they're not running as often as the others. I think if they turned up anything, they might have turned up 8th Street, you know, to compensate for 3rd Street having to be shut down.
Excuse me. One last question. Page 3, there's a notice under Bay Ridge Estates that a claim was filed with the Golden State Water Company's insurance provider beginning of November, and we expect a payment soon. I don't remember hearing about that. What was that claim about?
Oh, that was when we had the contractor that we hired hit an unmarked line.
Oh.
And so it was Golden State's water system up when we were doing our work on this collection system for this septic systems up there.
We were doing the work. We hit their line.
Yeah.
And they're owing us money.
They owe
that.
Us money. We okay. Yes. I did send an email again to this afternoon. I did send an email to the claims adjuster to see where we are.
Okay.
It's still, they're reviewing, so.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
John, Eric, did you have a question?
No, Chuck covered it, actually.
I got one.
Yep.
3rd Street, is that going to be tested when again? Is there a set time?
It's shut off. We have
there
a
will site. Be no testing?
There will be no testing on that one.
Okay. So, district accountant's report, are you prepared to give that? There's just a short discussion about the Parks and Rec funds. It's in the staff report. I don't know that we need to go over it.
Well, just we did receive the Community Foundation statement of activity for December 31st, 2015. So we just got that the other day, so we inserted that in your packet, and it's on the back table, too.
Okay. Are any questions of that?
Well, but that has nothing to do with the recreation pool fund. That is.
No, this is separate. This is the money for disadvantaged.
Right. This is the sewer hookup money,
This is the sewer hookup money. We'll discuss that a little bit later also. Okay, legal counsel report.
Yes, just two things. Number one, at the last meeting, I did speak very inartfully when I was speaking to Mr. Weimer about what the public can do. I can guarantee you that after that meeting, there's been a lot of discussion at staff level about how we would go about it. Second, the next BMC meeting is going to be February 17th at 1:30 p.m. in this room, and it's scheduled, I think, for 1.5 hours.
Okay, any questions of legal counsel? Okay, we'll go to LOCAC report.
Good evening. My name is Jeff Weir. I'm the vice chairperson for LOCAC. Let me just cover briefly with you our meeting last Thursday on the 28th. We did inform all of those in attendance about the meeting being held by the County Planning Commission today on the rail spur project. We actually made an attempt to try to get representation from both sides, and we were not able to. The actual rail spur people were just inundated and said they couldn't come. But we did encourage people that were interested to attend the meeting, so I'll inform you about that. Sheriff's report, over 900 calls in the last 30 days. A lot of calls. Various kinds of things. Nothing extremely serious, but, again, continued concern about break-ins and a few other things. We can always make those reports available that we receive to you. I don't know if you're interested or not. But we can probably do this on a more comprehensive basis. The Highway Patrol did report, and the thing of interest and the one thing I'd like to make public is they are now issuing parking citations along LOVR. There's no parking on almost all of that. Don't park there. That's been discussed and recussed for the last few years. It seems to have caught a lot of people by surprise. The one thing we did find out from the county, though, is don't expect to have all the curbs painted red. They're going to use signage more than painting because it's just too expensive. But a lot of people, particularly at Chase and some other of the banks, I guess people are used to stopping there to go to the ATM. I'm new to the community. I can only share with you I've almost hit three people there. They just step out of their car into the lane of traffic. So I'm kind of pleased there is parking right there. I'm not sure why they find that so important, but they did. County staff did inform us that both the community plan for Las Osas and the Habitat Conservation Plan is moving forward, but they are now working on something that has not been worked on up to this point, which is sea level rising. There's a lot of concern. I'm sure you all share the same thing. We expect to hear something within the next 90 to 120 days about the progress on this. Well, the community's put a lot of time and effort into it, and we're kind of interested to get this thing done so we have a plan for going toward the future. We did have a presentation from the SLO Council of Governments. They talked extensively about what were the important transportation-related projects. No surprises, a lot of interest in bicycles, but more importantly, or as importantly, pedestrian movements in our community, or the challenges there are if you walk around here, and if you do, you basically take your life in your hands too many places. Don't know what we're going to do, but we really did express how important that was. And then a lot of concern also expressed, you know, they had a great thing, and Lou is there, great way of voting on these things. If you haven't seen how they do that with a little clicker, it's wonderful. You see the results immediately. So you can more engage in dialogue than taking all the time to fill out forms and count them and do those kind of things. Well, the last thing I'd like to report is we've started our election cycle. The official date of the election is going to be May 21st. We're going to be informing people in the community much more about this, how to apply for it, where to go, absentee ballots, and all those kinds of things. But our process has started, and we'll just try to keep you informed. And with that, if you have any questions, I'll be glad to respond.
Any questions? I do have a comment. Sure. If you could give us a brief written report, we can include it in our agenda report, and then it would be on our website so people would have more access to
appreciate
it.
I got the call at 2:45 to be here. Okay. So
I know I got the email from Vicki the same time she called.
So I will make sure these comments I made, I'll put them together for you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Steve? Oh, I'm sorry. Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce representative. Sorry to be so informal here.
That's all right. Good evening. I'm Steve Vinson. I'm the president of Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. The chamber held its installation dinner January 23rd, and thank you, President Ohilski, for administering the oath. And we appreciate all the support that we get from the CSD. It really means a lot to us. So at the installation dinner, Business of the Year, Baywood Ale House, Volunteer of the Year, Gary Cave, and Citizen of the Year, Sherry Grimm. We've got the chamber mixer. Our first chamber mixer of the year is going to be on Wednesday, February 10th. And all our mixers normally are going to be on the second Wednesday of the month unless the host needs to do it another day. So anyway, this is going to be at the Morrow Shores Mobile Home Park community room. They got a really nice community room up there. And it says, come learn about the upcoming events being held at Morrow Shores, their annual rummage sale, art show, and more. There'll be Valentine treats, beer, wine, and raffle prizes. And good friends. So, again, that's February 10th. And you don't have to even have a business. You could just come on in. It's open to the public. Oh, yeah, 5:30.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
The time, 5:30 to 7.
5:30 to 7, and it's always going to be 5:30 to 7.
I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. A couple things also coming up. This year, we're going to bring back the food showcase. Now, I never went to the food showcase, but I heard it was very nice. And you know, one thing we want to do this year, we're going to look at every single event that we do and kind of see where we can do things better. Kind of start from scratch and build it up. And the food showcase is going to be like that. Chad Carroll, who owns the Baywood Ale House. He's going to be in charge of the food showcase. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But it should be held probably in September. We're going to create a new festival. Right now, we're calling it Bear Pride Festival. It could be Festival del Osos, something like that. And we're going to—that's going to be in late August. Can't tell you what that's going to be about. It's probably going to be around, right around here, I would think, not down in Baywood. So more on that later. And lastly, as always, check out our website, lobpchamber.org, Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber.org. We can get all the information. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions of Steve? Oh, that's it. Thank you very much. So I guess with that, is there any announcements of other activities outside here? So I guess we have the fire report in the package here, so I don't know that there's anything more to go over than that since the fire chief isn't here. So with that, then we'll go ahead and move on to public. Well, before that, the consent agenda. I do know we want to pull item 11H. So is there any other item that anybody wants to pull?
Well, discussion about 11G, about the accounting system, Mr. Doyle's not here. I'd rather have a report from him to hear more about it. $12,000 is a big chunk. And so I think if we could postpone that, pull it, and bring it back at our next regular meeting.
Okay. Yeah, so, okay. Well, we'll pull that. Excuse me. We'll go ahead and pull that and then continue that item. Anybody that's here to speak on it can speak on it. But okay, so we'll pull G and H, with G being continued till the next meeting, and with H, there are some amendments that we want to make to H prior to voting on it. So with that, then we'll go ahead and take public comments on item the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda, with the exclusion of 11G and 11H.
Julie Tacker again, and Chuck, what the Golden State Water Company said was that they'd had no violations of the chromium. They didn't say they didn't have chromium. So I found that wording very interesting. And, you know, we have the Los Osos landfill that has a plume underneath it. There's a whole system of monitoring going on over there. That has not been ruled out as contaminant to our basin. So, you know, looking for sources, whether or not it's natural or man-made, that has yet to be determined, and we may never know. With regard to your warrant packet, I see Mr. Seitz has another very expensive warrant, $14,587. Brownstein is still getting money, Brownstein for ISJ expenses, Wallace Group for ISJ expenses. I thought the ISJ was over. We do have a Basin Management Committee. We're going to be making a contribution to its administration. When does one stop and the other one start, or are we doing both at the same time? And maybe it's just a matter of changing the label. We're not ISJ anymore. We're BMC. With regard to sites billings, I know you know, and I have asked, the public's asked, for the Gardner report. I understand it was never completed, and perhaps you didn't see it, but and that it is attorney-client privilege. You're the client. Be transparent. You spent a lot of money on it. Open it up. Let the public see it. And you deserve to see it. I had comments for the two items that were pulled, so I'll be back when we discuss those. Oh, one thing, Marshall, and I hope we'll see it on a future agenda, is your agenda item for questions, answers to questions from the last time, however you worded that. Thank you.
Thank you. Keith?
Keith Weimer, Sustainability Group and Sierra Club. And I just wanted to say I was a little confused by Mr. Seitz's comments. All I heard, I was at first just looking at the stuff on the back table there, but all I heard was there's a lot of discussion at the staff level. That doesn't really resolve the issue, and it doesn't clarify for us exactly what the board intends by those comments. The Sierra Club plans to continue to recommend improvements, and, you know, if there's any objection to that, let us know. But we have studied this, you know, the basin plan for a long time, and there is definitely areas where it can be improved. In fact, the basin plan is somewhat inconsistent, or a lot inconsistent, and it is a matter of recommending some of the strongest stuff to be implemented rather than some of the less protective items. But also, the stipulated judgment says that it can be changed with a unanimous vote of the Basin Management Committee. And already, the rules for the for operation of the Basin Management Committee have been altered some because Chuck is able to speak. So I'm just saying that you should clarify that for everybody that wants to be involved in that. And okay, I'll leave it at that. Margaret, thanks for the report. Excellent as usual. And I just wanted to comment just on how important it is to have a strong conservation program and to have those margins of safety built into what the production levels are, because there is no telling when a well will go out for one reason or another. It might not even be seawater intrusion, but if you have seawater intrusion affecting wells like the Palisades well, you definitely want to have your margin of safety there. So if something else goes out, you know, you want to be able to shift pumping to the wells that are available. SLOCOG report, real briefly, a LOCAC report, but it was on SLOCOG. And SLOCOG, you know, deals with transportation to a great extent, but they made a presentation to Sierra Club, and in that they let us know that there was a lot of room for different kinds of transportation projects, and one of them I brought up was the possibility of combining road enhancements with LID projects. So what that would involve is, like, for pedestrian enhancement, to have like a linear parkway that is for you know, pumping, like, you know, stormwater into an area. It would drain along this particular area, but it would also be an improved area, sort of a linear parkway. It could even be a pocket park where it would do a double duty. So they will entertain those. Just one last quick point. I think this is important. Prop 1 grants for stormwater are in the process right now, and we could apply for one of these and talk in terms of an overall comprehensive LID program for the community. Should I give that to the Utilities Committee person?
Well, hold on to it. We'll get it after. Or why don't you give it to Ann in that way? Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close it. Can we go ahead and then have a motion to receive and file the administrative committee reports and to remove the consent agenda, or approve the consent agenda with the exception of 11 G and H?
So move.
Thank you. Moved by Director Wright. Second. Director Ternatsky. We have a roll call vote, please.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Ternatsky?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
With the exception of item 11 D, the revenue expenditure report, I cannot vote to approve that. I just have too many problems with it. And rather than discuss it tonight, we'll wait for the Finance Committee to get to it.
Okay. Thank you.
Vice President Storm?
Yes, except for 11D. No on 11D.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that then, we'll go to general action items. Just for clarification for everybody's benefit here, we're going to do A, B, and C. Then we will go ahead and, well, actually, I take that back. I'm going to go ahead and run 11G first, because we're actually recommending that be continued, but I do need to take public comment if there is public comment. Then we'll do 11 A, B, and C, and then, or pardon me, 12 A, B, and C, and then 11H will be the last item. That's 11A. Or pardon me, 12A. It's okay. We're good. Okay, so does anybody want to, on 11G, the discussion was to go ahead and continue that item. Does anybody want to say anything else? Is there any public comment on continuing 11G? Okay, seeing none, do we need to take a vote on that, or can we just, all right, we'll take a vote. Can I have a motion to continue 11G?
I'll move that.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Which one of you wants the second? All right, we'll give it to Chuck. All right, moved by Director Wright, seconded by Director Cecina. We have a roll call vote, please.
Director Wright.
Yes.
Director Cecina.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
Vice President Storm.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that then, we'll go ahead and move to Agenda Item A, which is amended from the original agenda. So this is the appointment of the committee member, or pardon me, the vice president, or pardon me, our representatives to the committees, the ad hoc committees, and the appointments to the outside agencies, which this is my job. So I've spent a lot of time going through this, and I've got a list here, and so I'll just go ahead and make my appointments right now. For the fire, the ESAC Advisory Committee, the chair will be Director Cecina, and the vice chair will be Director Wright. For the Utilities Advisory Committee, the chair will be Director Wright, and the vice chair will be Director Cecina. You guys flip-flop on those two. For finance, I'll be the chair, and Director Storm will be the vice chair. Parks and Rec, Director or Vice President Storm will be the chair, and Director Tornatsky will be the vice chair. Then for representatives to outside agencies, for CAPSLO, Director Cecina has agreed to continue his representation, and then Director Tornatsky will be his alternate. For the RAC, we'll stay with the current Tornatsky and Faulkner as the alternate. For the MBNEP, which is the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, Executive Committee will stay with the existing, which is me as the representative and Director Cecina as my alternate. I have the Los Osos Fire Safe Council, which I'm going to go ahead and point Director Wright to that, and myself as the alternate to that. And then last on this list, LAFCO delegate for our meeting in a couple of weeks. I'm going to go ahead and appoint myself for that. This is for the meeting, for our annual meeting, where we're going to go ahead and elect the new LAFCO member from special district. So we need to appoint a member to do that. I'm already on LAFCO. I will be continuing on LAFCO, but we had a vacancy with the retirement of Mr. Cliff. So I will be the one making that vote. Now, last but not least, ad hocs. And I've got four ad hocs, and I'm going to give you guys the ad hoc committees. I'm going to give you your charges, and I'm going to give you a deadline. So be ready to go. First one is grants. And that will be Director Tornatsky, Director Tornatsky and Vice President Storm. And I want to clarify what I want you to do on grants here. I want you to look at two things. I want you to look at outside grants that we have the opportunity to get, such as the proposition grants that have been mentioned and other grants that are out available that we may be able to take advantage of. And then secondly, I'd like to charge you guys with working with the Community Foundation and working with the County of San Luis Obispo on our sewer hookup funds for the disadvantaged people in the Prohibition Zone, because there will be hookups starting in the next few months, and I think it's really, really important to make sure that we're taking maximum advantage of the funds that are available. We do have, as was mentioned in the accountant staff report, I don't want to say a significant amount of money, but we do have money available in the Community Foundation as well as LAIF that's available for subsidizing the people that are in need for the sewer hookups. So those are the two charges I'm going to give you. The time frame is ongoing, but for the second aspect of that, we need to get that done obviously in the next couple of months, because we are looking at sewer hookups. The latest I heard was now April, but so we have a couple of months to work on that one, and I will get you guys the contact information for that. Second ad hoc committee is going to be the interim general manager. Margaret has acting as temporary general manager and done an awesome job, but her term is up in a couple of weeks, so week and a half. All right, a week and a half, but who's counting? So I'm going to go ahead and appoint an ad hoc committee of myself and Director Vice President Storm to do that, and we're going to report back next week. We are going to have a special meeting for everybody's benefit. We're going to have a special meeting next Wednesday at 5 o'clock at the district office to discuss that. That's one of the items that we will be discussing. So we will come back with a recommendation as far as hiring an interim general manager, not somebody for the long term, but just somebody to carry us over until we've had the opportunity to work on a process for the long-term general manager. So that would be myself and Director Storm, and we have till next Wednesday at 5 to come up with our report. Piggybacking on that, I'm going to create an ad hoc committee for contract employees. I think this is an opportunity for us to look at all of our contract employees. So I'd like Vice President Storm again and Director Wright to be involved in that. And I'd like to just you guys to piggyback on our interim general manager report. It doesn't have to be done, obviously, next week, and I'd like to at least have a report back of how we want to proceed with the evaluation of those employees for our meeting next month. So it's just, I think it's an opportunity since we are going to be bringing in a new general manager to look at performance evaluations or criteria for the entire staff. And last but not least is office lease. That's come up already. I'm making a committee of myself and Chuck. I decided to do you at the last minute. That's version 6,000 of my appointments here. So you and I will work on the ad hoc, and we have to come back by next Wednesday. So that's our time frame on that. Those are my appointments for the committees, for the outside committees, and for the ad hocs. And since I've already mentioned, and already Chuck, you and I are already on the Basin Management Committee, so that's not that we elected that. The thing that I did want to point out, and I just mentioned briefly, we are going to have a special meeting next Wednesday to discuss three issues. We're going to discuss the interim general manager. We're also going to discuss the office lease. And thirdly, we're going to discuss budget for the Basin Management Committee. So those are the three items that will be on our agenda for next week's meeting. Okay? Any questions about that? All right, we'll take public comment on that if anybody has any comments.
That was a big job for you, Marshall. I am curious about the contract employees process and evaluation that you're asking your ad hoc to do, those contract employees being who?
You get that now.
Legal counsel.
District accountant.
District accountant. Engineer. And I actually was going to bring this up. As you know, I don't watch just Los Osos districts. I participate in other local government. And the Seitz family represented the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District for 50 years. That's a long time. Seitz family has represented our district in one way or another since its formation in 1999. Wallace Group, the same. Long history, South County, long history, Los Osos. Not that those are parallel. What my point is it's just like we do auditors, and now that it's the law that you change out your auditor within 5 years, let your district legal counsel, let your district engineer, let them go out, be part of the recruitment in an RFP, and see if you can get an equally qualified, at less expense, to your district every 5 years. I know our district has been distracted by manager turnover, and we've actually had to rely on our general manager and our legal counsel, but it's time to take the bull by the horns, and you are the managers, and your ad hoc committee maybe will lay out a process, and maybe I can help, but those evaluations need not just evaluations. Let them fight for the job if they want the job. And just because they have longevity doesn't mean they're the ultimate right fit for the district any longer. I think it's time. definitely time to revisit those positions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment, Keith?
Yes, Keith Weimer again. Just one comment. Last meeting, Director Husky, you said that you would separate out the Basin Management Committee report from the staff reports, and that would be a separate item that where the public would get an update on that. And I'm just wondering about the status of that. It sounds like the special meeting is going to be to discuss that budget, but it's not necessarily a meeting to give the public an update and receive input. You also mentioned that you would be accepting questions, and I didn't remember whether you said that you would be answering them that same meeting or the following meeting, but I'd like some follow-up on that as well, especially with regard to Basin Management Committee items. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Let me just do one clarification, a couple of clarifications here. The Ad Hoc Committee for Contract Employee Evaluation, this is meant to set up a process for the evaluation, so I'm not casting aspersions on any of the contract employees. It's just something that we have not done in the past, and I think it's timely that we need to do that as a part of our regular operating procedure. And then secondly, to answer Keith's two questions, Basin Management Committee hasn't met since our last meeting. That's why there was an update on today's meeting. Our next meeting is the 17th, so it will be an item on our agenda, but we haven't met since our last meeting. So that's the answer to that. And then questions from the audience, that will be a regular agenda item. We just weren't prepared to do that at today's meeting. So I've already got four questions that we'll bring out there. And as I mentioned to you previously, the Basin Management Committee, we're going to do that there to answer previous questions, and so it's going to be the same process in both places. So, but again, we haven't met since last meeting, so I didn't have anything to say on that. Okay, so with that, congratulations on all my appointments, and I'm looking forward to the two groups that have to be back to us by next Wednesday performing hard, since I'm one of them. Okay, so with that, then we'll go to 12B. Can we have a staff report, please? It's up to you.
Do you want to give it?
This report is asking the Board of Directors, in accordance with their bylaws and rules of decorum, to appoint the members of the public who reside within the boundaries of the district to serve on the standing advisory committees. This will be at your first meeting in February, which is this meeting. I have updated the 2016 local appointment list. There have been four applications received since this was published, and you should have them in front of you along with the applications. They are also on the back table for the public. Thank you.
I do have one question. This has to do with Mr. Wright's question about why 11H was pulled. One of the reason we pulled 11H was because we want to look at expanding the boundaries of the emergency services to include the entire fire district. So I'm wondering, do we want to defer those appointments until after we've made that decision and give people outside the district the opportunity to apply, or how do you want to deal with that?
Well, I think we could. My personal feeling is to go ahead with who we have. I mean, I didn't anticipate it being right at this moment. As things go, things usually, some people come off the committees. I do have a question, though, for the secretary in regards to Mr. Heyer. Is he putting in to be on all three of these committees, or is he just applied for all three, hoping to get one?
No, his preference was...
He just left. Did you wait till he left?
I know. I was hoping he would be here for this, but I don't know if we can. That would be Mr. Seitz. I don't know if we can appoint.
We've had members and multiple committees in the past, but we've never had anybody on three committees before.
My understanding, at least to the best of my knowledge, the applications is utilities is his first choice.
Okay. Well, if he does get appointed to all.
And then ESAC and then finance.
Okay.
Last.
Well, I mean, he could step down from finance and ESAC, and that would leave an opening for the alternate for ESAC, so 9I could apply after that fact, too. So.
I guess you can appoint him to all three, then we can contact him tomorrow.
We can fill ESAC without Mr. Hayer.
No. We've got three.
Don't we have two?
We have three openings. We have
three openings, two regular, one alternate.
Oh, okay.
So
he could be the alternate.
Well, if he doesn't want to be on ESAC, then we have an opening, and anybody in 9I, if they want to apply, can do that. We have to get the word out to them. I'm assuming that we change the bylaws.
I think for the record, for the people that are watching on TV, you may want to just read the people so we have that, so they understand who we're talking about.
For the Emergency Services Advisory Committee, we have three openings, two committee members and one alternate member. We've received applications from Vita Miller and Julie Tacker, who are incumbents, and Mr. Gene Heyer is new. Finance Advisory Committee, we have four openings, three committee members and one alternate member, and we received three applications, Craig Baltimore, Jeff Edwards, Gene Heyer, and they're all three incumbents. Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee, we have six openings, five committee members and one alternate member. And Andrea Luker, Vicki Millage, and Shauna Sullivan, all three applied, and they were on the subcommittee. All three of them were subcommittee incumbents. Utilities Advisory Committee, we have four openings, three committee members and one alternate. We've received applications from Leonard Muthart and Ron Munns, who are incumbents, and Gene Heyer and Lindy Owen, who are new applicants for that committee.
Okay. Any other questions? We'll go to public comment then.
Julie Tacker again, and I just want to ask that you reseat me on the Emergency Services Committee. I've had the pleasure of serving on that committee since I got elected in fall, November of 2004, and my first assignment from the president of that board was to put me on ESC, and I've been on there ever since, and that was probably January of 2005 when I got that appointment. To chair that committee at that time. So it would be a pleasure again to serve, and I'm looking very much forward to working with the new chief and bringing him along through a transition. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. This brings up an interesting question because we have nothing in our bylaws about how the procedure should be to do this, actually, and we've used alternate procedures in the past. We've had each board member nominate one person or select one person. Given that we don't have any extra applications for any of the committees, if we took all of them that are out there, the only question would be who would the alternates be? And I would think that based on what was just said, Gene would be the alternate for ESAC, and then since Lindy's the newer appointment on the Utilities Advisory, that she would be the alternate there. But I think that's what we have to discuss. Do we want to appoint all of them? And then if we do, who do we want to appoint as the alternate on those two committees? So I'll open it up for discussion.
I have one question about the Finance Committee, which is one you didn't touch on there. It says four openings. Did we get four applications?
No.
We only got three.
Right.
So we don't have an alternate yet there. Okay.
Right.
And other than that, I like what you've proposed.
You're essentially talking about just a slate of the committee members?
I would say we just approve them with, like I said, Gene being the alternate and Lindy being the alternate. Boy, you guys are just falling asleep on me.
It seems like the only alternative is to go on the recruiting binge again, and Are we going to be any more successful? I don't know.
I don't know either. I know there's no procedure in here, so I can just move forward with consensus then, is that?
Yeah, I think there would be a motion.
Okay, somebody? Anybody? I don't like to make my own motion since I'm the president, but I will if I have to. I know.
I move that we appoint the people listed in the 2016 local appointment list here in our board packet to the respective committees with the understanding that Jean Hayer would be the alternate at ESAC and Lindy Owen the alternate at Utility Advisory Committee, and we do not have alternates for the other committees yet.
Okay. So do we have a second? I'll second it myself if I have to. Apparently we don't have a consensus here, Chuck. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Okay, we'll take a vote.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
Director Wright.
No.
Vice President Storm.
No.
Okay, the motion passes 3-2. I will say one of my counseling things that I've said in the past, once the board adopts a motion that we all have to support it, whether we voted for it or not. So I would expect everybody's support of our board member, or pardon me, our committee members at this point. All right, thank you. With that, then we'll move on to 12C.
Yes. Approximately four meetings ago, the discussion began regarding the use of the solid waste contingency funds for other purposes. And as a staff report sets forth, Government Code Section 61112 allows for you to do that. At the last meeting, you indicated that your preferred landing spot for that was a fund that would be referred to as a Fire Mitigation Reserve Fund, and that would be a fund within the number 301. And so the law allows you to do this. You have to make a determination that those funds are no longer necessary for that purpose, and it has to be a 4/5 vote. As a part of the last meeting, I made a suggestion that perhaps some money should be left in the solid waste fund because, as a placeholder, essentially, because at some point we believe that we'll be getting that that enterprise back. But you tasked me to go talk with the auditor to see whether or not that would pose any problems to the audit. I did speak with the auditor. They said if a minor amount of money was left there, that it would have no effect upon the audit. During the discussion of that, a number of directors indicated, well, you know, we could just leave the fund as being empty, and when the time comes, we can potentially fill it if we get that solid waste franchise back. So I don't have a problem either way. I'm not going to make a recommendation that you leave any money in there. It's up to you if you want to do that. It will not affect your audit. But that's essentially my staff report. The recommendation is that you move and by 4/5 vote support the resolution.
Any questions? Yeah.
Mr. Seitz, can you refresh my recollection as to what the purpose of making this, according to the minutes, I made the motion, what the purpose of making it effective July 1st, 2014 was? What did that have to do with?
Nothing.
Okay, so that's not in the existing resolution?
No.
Okay.
No, I noticed that. And could we even do that? Hasn't there been an administrative draw or something taken from that fund since?
Yes.
I mean, the ripple effect. We might have to go back and change other.
Yes, yeah, so this isn't. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So this is effective today? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. If you pass it.
Right.
Just another informational item. I did speak to the county auditor today, Mr. Erb, just to make sure that. Because I know there was two issues. One was the auditor, and the second was the county. So I did speak with Mr. Erb today, and he did assure me that this was within our authority to do, and that it was as long as we had the 4/5 vote that we could do this. So I just wanted to get assurances from him that we weren't doing anything wrong. So, yes, with that, we'll open it to public comment.
Julie Tacker again, and you all did receive my letter, I guess, this morning, and I am questioning the staff report that was given to you on January 7th, where your accountant was pretty darn emphatic. The staff report reads emphatically that it's June 30 or July 1st, 2014, because it reflects on that audit. That's the audit that he's working on with the auditor. Not this year. What you're doing today, if it's effective today, that audit is what he was concerned about. I'm sorry he's not here to explain or recant what was discussed last month, because that was, and I watched the replay, that was his concern, is that you were going to have a finding for not having moved that money in July 1st or by July 1st of 2014. And then, of course, that's where the dominoes fall, is that you budgeted against it, you spent money from it, and you would, I believe, have to replenish it. And that money would have, that dollar amount, whatever it was on July 1st, 2014, would have to be the same if you made it effective as of that date. I think you need that clarification from him, or ask that the auditor come in here. Come in here. Talk to you. Explain why we're doing this. It was a rush last month. Mr. Doyle was nervous and was saying you are going to get an adverse opinion if you don't do it. So that date was important to him. It may not be to you, Mr. Seitz, but I think it is important to the audit. And that needs to be better explained. And then, of course, you know, how much money are we talking about? That number changed from January 7th to tonight. It's about $2,000 different. What you voted on January 7th is different than what you're voting on tonight. So I think you just take a check here. Get a full analysis. Get a new GM. Even an interim GM can hash through this and figure it out. Why are you doing it tonight? If it was important to do tonight, that's why you were trying. He was trying to do it on January 7th, and it's effective July 1st, 2014. There's something to that, and I don't know if you saw that or can explain that, but I think you need to wait.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for discussion.
I have a question, Mr. Seitz.
Yes.
You had a conversation with our audit team. What exactly did they say?
What I asked the question was, if we left money in the solid waste fund of a minor amount, would that cause a negative audit? And they indicated to me no. When I spoke with Mr. Doyle the day after the meeting, before I had the conversation with the auditor, I asked him what the concern was, and he did not bring up a date of 2014. Frankly, I thought that would have been an impractical exercise to try to figure out what was in there on that date and how we would fund it if there was more money then than there is now to get it back to an even amount. But that discussion did not take place between our accountant and me. And you know, all I can say is that when I spoke with the auditor, he wanted to take my question under submission. He replied to me last week in an email that it was okay. And I did not say, you know, was this going to affect which audit? You know, the question was whether leaving any funds in there at all was going to have an effect on the audit. And that was a question I asked and got answered.
Okay, thank you.
I we're kind of in a difficult position without him being here, but that raises the same issue that we had. I mean, what's the downside of this? We don't get a clean audit, so this is just a condition. You know, it's not going to, we're not failing the audit because of this, so I just don't know what the downside of waiting at this point is. We should have had the audit by now anyways, and we still don't have it, so I'm not quite sure what's holding that up either. So, Lou, you want to talk?
I'd like to wait for Mr. Doyle to be here, frankly.
He was sure agitated about that date. And frankly, I guess maybe after taking our lumps on the last audit over some serious issues, I wouldn't consider this a big deal, even if we got a finding about that. But not that I'm looking forward to doing that. But if we don't have to act tonight, maybe we should wait for him.
I don't think we have this money designated for anything on an emergency basis. No. So I think...
Can I suggest that this be brought back? I don't want to overload that special meeting on Wednesday, but I think I could get an answer from the auditor tomorrow as to whether or not that date is critical to this.
Well, I think that would make sense, yeah. I think nobody's here. I mean, from what I'm hearing, everybody would like to get answers to the questions rather than just approving it without knowing exactly what the rationale is. So. If I think so, can we just continue it then and give you direction to get us the answer for that, Mr. Seitz?
Yes.
Okay. Is everybody good with that?
Yes.
Okay. Then we'll bring up the last item on the agenda, which is what was formerly known as 11H. And Mr. Wright, you pulled the item.
Right.
Well, actually, you and I did, but I'll let you speak to it.
It has to do with the committees under Section 11. I had asked Mr. Seitz to get a reading on changing the language to 11.1E to word that so that we can include under the section where it says within the boundaries of the district some wording so that the people that live in Zone 9I in our fire service can be included on the Emergency Services Committee. And I wanted that discussion on that so we can amend that section to include that, whatever the wording would be.
Section are you referring to?
11.1E. It's on page 9.
I see. Okay, thank you.
There's no question that the board has the authority to expand the territory. This is strictly a policy of the board as to who's included. It makes sense on most of your services to have them be all district residents, but this service extends outside of district boundaries to include everyone within that boundary makes sense. So
you're proposing a qualifier that would say, except for the Emergency Services Advisory Committee, whose members must reside within the boundaries of?
The proposal is that Section 9E shall reflect that the members of the public who reside within the boundaries of County Service Area Number 9, Zone 1, or Zone I, are eligible to apply for the Emergency Services Advisory Committee.
Only.
That's the only one that yeah. references. Yeah.
Okay, so you're adding that sentence after the first sentence? That's what I'm asking.
That's just a complete reflection of what would be in regards to 11.1E.
Okay, but E has to say that the members of the public who reside, I mean, the people on the other committees have to reside within the district.
Right, but all the other ones are going to remain the same. This is the only one that's going to have that language to it.
That's what I'm saying. So the first sentence stays.
I mean,
you can
word it parenthetically too. Just except for Emergency Services Committee includes Fire Zone 9I. Something simple.
Yeah, I would just say except for the Emergency Service Advisory Committee, whose members must live within Zone. Right? Am I missing something here?
I think you need to include 9I.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So that you just add a clause at the end, except for the members of the Emergency Services Committee, which must reside within the boundaries of District 9I.
Right.
So that's, I have a question. That works. The people in 9I pay the special fire tax that people within the district do on the
No, but they have their own assessment.
So their assessments, and then they pay through that contract line item, right?
Yes.
All right. And that can be, that's not necessarily permanent, right?
9I.
So they're we're talking about having people from that area come in that, I don't know, okay.
Just we're talking about people who receive the service.
Right, people who receive the service. So they pay for the service.
They pay for the service.
Separately,
they're included in the
differently
service.
Than us.
And
they're
in the past we've had, you know, that there's some kind of negotiation over that rate, the contract for the 9i service area, or is it just automatically?
It's just automatically funded into the Schedule A.
Okay.
All right. So that's
a separate item on the Schedule A income.
All right. Okay, so we'll take public comment on that. We have Ms. Tacker supporting it. Any other public comment? Now we have two yellers from the audience. Okay, so we have, bring it back to the, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. So I think that the language that I was proposing, except for the members of the Emergency Services Advisory Committee, who shall reside within the boundaries of 9I, that's what I think I'd like to see. I mean, they do receive the services and they do pay. They just pay a different means than, or mode than we do, so.
Would that mean that they're eligible to be on the Finance Advisory Committee?
No.
No.
Are people who live in the Golden State service area still going to be eligible for UAC?
They are now.
They are now.
But they don't receive service.
But they are now.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I so move... make the motion. I move the board adopt resolution 2016-02 adopting the 2016 Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors bylaws and rules of decorum as amended tonight and as amended previously.
I'll second. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, we'll take a roll call, please.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Sasanya?
Yes.
Director Tornowski?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so with that then, we'll talk about future agenda items we do have. And as I mentioned to Mr. Weimer, we will be having in the future response to questions. Unfortunately, we just not were able to get that one prepared for today. And I think, Chuck, you had mentioned before an item that you would like to see on a future agenda, and we're working on that. So. Is there any other item that we'd like to see on future agendas?
Well, there was there's a note in our minutes that we supported. Let's see, future agenda items. This is from the January 7th minutes. Director Wright requested review of the district's personnel policy, which we're following through on, and discussion of the district's position on the recycled water contracts. Now, we talked about that a couple times. You right. did too. I did too. Right. So I think that needs to carry over. And I thought Keith brought up a decent question about the remaining $2 million in conservation grant that the county had received as part of the wastewater project, and it's not being spent. And they seem very reluctant to spend it on indoor conservation. They don't want to fund hot water recirculators. They want us to repurpose the septics. Now is the time to do that, but they don't want to assist people with grants, and some of it's going to be a little bit complicated. People are going to need some help. So I think we should consider whether we ask the county really to loosen up that money and redirect it. I know they say the Coastal Commission says it's for indoor use only, but I don't think the Coastal Commission is going to care where we save water. And it is a grant.
Well, I think if it's okay with you, I think both those items we can refer to the Finance Advisory Committee because now we are going back to monthly meetings
for
the advisory.
I think, and that's the way everything should be done, right. Through the committees first and then bring it here if it needs
to
come
I'll
here.
Put those, since I'm now the chair of that committee, I'll put that on my list here.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Okay, we'll have closing board comments. Start with you, Chuck.
We're going to get to that point where we can shake everything off and just move ahead. I'm looking forward to that. I really, really am. We talked about CapSlo earlier, and I've enjoyed that year on that board, and I'm just learning a little bit about what they're about, and I don't think it would be fair to stick them with somebody new again. So,
is that your way of thanking me for appointing you?
Yes, that's what it is.
I thought you just liked the food they give you.
That's the best part about it.
I'd just like to thank the people who applied and reapplied for the committees, and especially Mr. Super Committee Member Gene Heyer. We'll sort that one out. Moving back to the committees, I think we got a lot of important stuff and to move forward on. I agree with Chuck. It's a new day, and we'll do our best to shake off the old and keep moving forward.
Vice President Storm.
I'd like to thank the people on the Parks and Rec Committee for bearing with us through the long procedural steps of getting that out. I have a couple things I want to say first about all the sheriff's calls. One thing I found really useful, and I don't mean to shill for a company, but there's a social media service called Nextdoor, which it's based on who lives in your neighborhood. And I signed up for that just because I'm a computer nerd, and it really recently it's started to actually have some people in Los Osos in it, and when things happen that people maybe want to know about, it shows up pretty quick. And I don't know if this is contributing to everybody living in their cave or what, but I'm really grateful to know if people are having problems in my neighborhood. Secondly, I just wanted to say regarding the hexavalent chromium. I used to work in the town next to Hinckley, California. And when I was in law school, I was studying to be an environmental lawyer. And I worked in this town, in a law clinic for this town in Illinois that had to have its entire topsoil down to the bedrock carved out and disposed due to water pollution. And so I'm thankful. I just want to say I'm thankful that in California we have, and this is something that's been in place my entire life, and I'm trying not to take it for granted, we have very stringent clean water standards, and I'm glad to see that. And I was surprised but not surprised to read in the paper that our state level is 10 times the federal EPA's level for hexavalent chromium. So I'm hoping we get that sorted out right away. And it's just worth noticing how much times change. The California version of the Clean Water Act, the substantive portions of it anyway, were signed into law by Governor Reagan, and the federal version was signed into law by President Nixon. That's a bizarre world, I think. Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad that we have those high thresholds, and I don't want anyone to take them for granted. And thanks for the public to participating, and have a good night.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll just close briefly. Again, we'll have a special meeting at 5 o'clock on next Wednesday. Everybody knows what the agenda items are, but we obviously will post that. And then I want to thank all the people who did make applications for our committees. And now that we'll be going back to regular meetings of the committees, hopefully we'll be able to engage more people and get community involvement in those committees. I also want to express my appreciation to all of my fellow board members who I appointed to a lot of things today, but I think there's a lot of things that are pressing that we need to get taken care of. So I appreciate all your guys' cooperation. So with that, we'll go ahead and adjourn.